right here, John chapter 1, Jesus is called the light of the world. Have you ever stopped to really consider that statement? What it really means, the depths of the meaning of this? We'll do so today and tomorrow here on Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our program. We've recently begun our journey through John. We're still in chapter 1, looking at verses 6 through 12 today, a message called The Light of the World. We invite you to join us as we explore this name, if you will, that is ascribed to Jesus and why it is so important for you and I. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon, today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." There ends the reading of God's word. The reason studying John's prologue is so important and helpful is that what it's doing is introducing us to all the major themes in the book, and it's showing us basically the way that we are to read the book and understand the book. That is why it is important not to move too quickly through it. You want to stop and let it set in a bit, because these are major themes that the book is going to show us and unpack for us. One of the sad things, of course, in our day, as we pick up from where we left off last time, is that the issues that the culture has made as the issues are not really the issues in the scriptures. You look at all of the causes that people get up for in the morning. You look at all the causes that people are living for and that are driving them. You can go down the line with causes. This is one of the great concerns I have in the church today, that we don't lose the cause of Scripture, because people are going to find on that day, 1 Corinthians, that many of the causes they have been pursuing, even in Christianity, were not built on the foundation, and it all will be burned up. It really did accomplish nothing. That's why the prologue is so important of John. John has introduced us to the most important issue that we will ever have to face in this life, the greatest claim made to us in this life. The witness and claim of John here, as we're reading it, is the witness and claim of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. For John, and for the whole Bible, he is the answer to this present darkness. He is the answer to all of the misery and all of the sadness and all of the grief and all of the pain that you are experiencing. And that's why we looked at this last time with the themes of light and darkness and life, as you'll notice. The first sermon title, as we were looking at creation and looking at how the prologue right at the beginning is set up next to it in light of what was said at creation, it's not let there be light, but John is really saying, Let there be life now in the new creation by the work of Jesus. This is going to be emphasized for us in many ways throughout this book by having us look this morning particularly at how this light was brought to us. How this light comes to us. Light that gives life. And that's the marvel of that glorious statement there. It's just a beautiful statement in verse 4. In him was life. And the life, his life, is the light of men. that's a beautiful statement. His life is your light in this world. And there is no other light. The only answer you're ever going to get from God. And it's the best one. As we come to the table this morning, that's what I want us to think about. If you've received the light, if you have been given the light, if you've believed the light, if you have embraced this light, then you are the most blessed person ever to live on the face of the earth. You really are. God has been wonderful to you because much of the world right now does not know this. By and large, the world has not received this. And even his own, when he came, did not receive it. So what does that say today if you see Jesus? What does that say today if you have received him? Well, then God has been absolutely wonderful to you. God has loved you with an everlasting love. And you have every reason to leave this place the most joyful, happy person ever to live on the face of the earth. Ever. So that's what we're looking at this morning. We're going to look at before us this gracious gift of God so that we see here how the light was brought to us in the witness about the light, the evidence of that witness of the light, and then the response to this light. That's the basic breakdown that is set in front of you and John is working with here in verses 6 through 12. I want you to notice again the emphasis that is in verse 6 as John has now shifted to another thought, another theme, and that theme is about witness now. There was a man named John, sent from God. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. When we're looking here at witness and this important theme of witness at the beginning here, the book is highlighting the witness of John the Baptist. And he came, you remember, and he was the forerunner. He was the one preparing the way. He told everyone about Jesus. Now that seems so simple. This was his great mission. His great mission was to bear witness about Jesus. To talk about Jesus, to make known Jesus. I thought to myself as I was preparing it this week, this is really not much difference than what's happening now. We're just post-cross. But think about what's happening right now. Something is being pressed upon us right now. Something is being pressed upon this place and around the world today that is happening, and it's a claim, isn't it? It's a claim. The Christian faith is based on a testimony and a deposit of truth that is given, and God has set apart a vast array of people all throughout history to bear witness to and about this light. That's the point, about the light, about Jesus. God has always maintained throughout history a witness about his son. A lot of people don't think about this. We're so used to coming to church, and maybe we didn't even give much thought to this morning at all. The special thing that's happening right now, this has become so normal to us and so expected to us. But I want you to think about how wonderful and the point that John is really making that should set home in our hearts of how remarkable it is that we have this witness. The thesis of the book is, these things are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you would have life in his name. That's John 20, 31. That's the whole point of the book. That's what everything's aiming to. That what you believe about Jesus Christ is very important, who he is, and then receiving that witness, believing that witness, you receive from him life. Come back to that right at the end. Life. Well, here we are this morning looking at this great truth, this claim that has been made throughout history and the way that this has been witnessed to throughout history. Think of what was presented last week, the claim. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. At the creation as we know it, the Word was. When everything had this beginning as we know it and was spoken into existence, the Word was. And we looked at how the Greeks understood the word logos or logos, however you want to say it, logos, and how the Jews would have understood the logos as a principle. You'll notice here that he is helping us understand. You want to talk about the logos and all of your principles and all of your ways? Let me introduce you to the true logos. The logos was, notice, in the beginning was the Word. He was before the face of God. There's distinction. And then it said so beautifully, the Word was God. Whole Trinitarian presentation of Jesus right at the beginning. He goes on, as we looked at, in him was light and life, and the life was the light of men. So in all the darkness of this world, in all of the sadness of this world, he is the light. He is the life that God has announced that lights up everything. From this Word, we get light and life. And then he introduces the Word to us in verse 14 that we couldn't get away from last week, because we know who's being presented to us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. We saw who he is. Now, many people come after these sort of statements. Cults have attacked it all throughout history. They say, this is crazy. This is madness. You guys believe in a phantom God. Where's the proof to all of this? You guys are all taken with false notions, and you just come, and this is how Christianity is looked at in our culture today too. That's why they want to stamp it out. They see it as utterly stupid, utterly foolish what we're doing right now. Let's challenge that claim for a minute. Let's challenge it. The Bible answers that claim, that charge. The Bible answers that statement of unbelief. And it says, consider the witness. Consider the witness. And it's not just one witness, it's witnesses. This is a big theme in John. Everyone knew, as he starts with here, the witness of John the Baptist. If you would have gone back to that time, everyone knew John the Baptist was a great figure. Everyone knew he was a prophet from God. But there was a great problem. People weren't coming and listening to John carefully. People weren't coming and understanding what John was doing. John was out and they thought, wow, what a fiery preacher. We want to hear this guy. We want to see this guy. We know he's a prophet from God. And they came to see John. Well, what was John doing? This theme of witness is very important. The Jews were rejecting the message of John. And in doing that, they were rejecting everything that John was aiming for. And that was Jesus. This becomes the larger theme in the book. The Jews would often, the nation of Israel would reject him. And how would Jesus handle this? How would Jesus handle the claims of people, the charges of people against him and unbelief in him? People who would say in our day, well, I don't see things. I don't see enough. Which is a remarkable thing, because even in front of them, Jesus did countless miracles and they still didn't believe. Remember what he said? Remember the little parable he told? Where the rich man went down into hell and he said, look, just send them somebody. And Jesus was so clear that even if I pulled somebody out of the grave to come back and witness, they still won't believe. I have to hold that thought because I'm going to come back to that. But I want to take you on a little a few verses here so you see. Turn to John 5 for a minute. I want you to see how prevalent the theme of witness is. Witnesses to Jesus. You'll notice he raises the issue of John the Baptist here. Jesus himself in John 5 verse 33. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. So you saw him for who he is. You saw him as a mighty prophet. What do you think he was out doing? What do you think John's purpose was? I think this is a crucial question. What gets people to hear today? Why do people come to church today? What is the purpose people come to church today? Why do they come? You could almost apply this directly across the board. Some thoughts, of course, about John were, you know, he must have been the Messiah. They came to see John. They were impressed with this great pastor, this great great figure. How many people come to church today? Why are they coming? Well, they're coming to see somebody. They're coming to hear something. We know today it's so tied up with the talents and the abilities of the pastor. John was as talented as they get. Powerful to sit under. But did you notice what the prologue said about John's mission? John's whole purpose was to bear witness to the light. He is not the light. Did you catch that? He came to bear witness to the light. So here's Jesus saying, do you really consider what John was saying to you? Did you really consider the witness that John was bringing? Jesus now, in the middle of John 5, raises all these witnesses. He says in verse 5, you search the scriptures in John 5 because you think, and we're in verse 39, you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about who? Me. That's another witness. Okay, so we now have John the Baptist who's witnessing about Jesus. And now Jesus says, the whole scriptures are about me. He goes on, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. Theme of the book. Do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. There's one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, listen to this, he says it again, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? That is a striking statement. John is so unique because he just stood so close to Jesus. That's why he's the greatest. What Jesus just did is undermine everything that's happened even in our day. Most people read the Bible. And how is the Bible preached by and large today? The Bible is preached as a good set of way of morality and morals for you to please God, a way for you to feel good about yourself. How many people today believe still, isn't this amazing, after all these years of Christianity and its message, still have no clue about its basic message and believe that if they do enough good deeds, if they are moral enough, they will make it to heaven? Oh, we've generally not lived a rebellious life, and we've lived an honorable life, and we have been good, and we've been obedient, and so many Christians are willing and ready to read the Bible that way. They read the Old Testament that way. It's all about morals. It's built into us to read the Bible that way. The book is saying, you're missing the whole witness. Jesus just said, the book that you're reading, you're missing everything. I'm still in amazement when I talk to people in our community about Christianity who go to church. This is what they believe. You're not reading Moses. You don't understand what the intention of the commandments was. So we have two witnesses now I've presented. John the Baptist, who stood closest to Jesus, and they missed it. The whole scriptures, going back all throughout history, were about Jesus, and they missed it. And that's why when you preach to something like David and Goliath, it's built into you to think this is about fighting the Goliaths in your life. You missed it. You missed it again.
So you have another witness. It's right here. A whole witness. Right in your hands. Who wrote this? Just men? I'll come back to that. Verse 32. There's another who bears witness about me. And I know that the testimony he bears about me is true. I believe there he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's going to be a big theme. There were other witnesses that Jesus spoke of. Notice what he says. For the works that my Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father sent me. Big claim. Have any of you ever run around saying that? Think about that. The good works that I'm doing out in the world bear witness. The Father sent me here. You would put me in the insane asylum. And the Father who sent me, another witness, himself has bore witness about me. Look at the works. I'm raising the dead. I'm healing the sick. Remarkable. John, Scriptures, Holy Spirit, the Father, all bearing witness. And then it's as if in the prologue, as he's introduced John, this theme, because John is so fascinating because he stood so close to Jesus in relation to history and where he is as the last of the Old Testament great prophets, if you will. You'll notice here that the prologue says something fascinating. This light can be seen everywhere. Did you catch that? This is the true light, back to the prologue, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. His presence, his light, is shining on everyone. What that means is that really the only reason this sad world is still going on, the only reason we have any life in this world, the only reason we get up and enjoy any amount of goodness is because Jesus is risen.
He has risen indeed, as we like to say during Easter. Well, that will close out our look at John chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, at least for today anyway, here on the program. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, I'd remind you that you can contact us at agradio.org. Also find other platforms there as well. Nice little jump-offs to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Again, available at agradio.org. You'll be able to tap into previous programs as well as find out where AG Radio is playing in your neck of the woods. Again, agradio.org. Or if you wish, use the phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. By the way, if you find the broadcast helpful, encouraging you in the Lord, maybe there's something that Pastor Chris has said today that really stuck in your mind, something that, like most of us, you'll actually use with somebody else in a day or two. We would love to hear from you. If you feel that this program is helpful to you, we would ask you to redirect some of your financial resources to fund Abounding Grace, as this is a listener-supported ministry, which means we're on this specific radio station simply because you've come alongside of us financially and even more importantly, prayerfully, to make sure that this radio program continues right here on this station at this time. So consider that as you get a hold of us again at 888-504-8805 or agradio.org. And bear in mind that any financial resource you send our way is tax deductible. Well, to help close out today's broadcast and a sneak peek at tomorrow's program, once again, here's Pastor Chris.
Here's why you're here today. You are here today and you received this kingdom. You received your Savior because it was a gift from God. God gave you a gift. God so loved you that he gave you this gift and then he gave you a new heart to receive it. He did the most overwhelming thing for you in life. He brought you into the family that truly matters, adopted sons and daughters. And because he says, I decided to lavish this upon you in the darkness of your heart, That's why you're here. That is when you know you're beginning to understand the gospel, by the way.
And that will be tomorrow, here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.